this is the first year we're going to say something about, hey, man, you know what? This defense could be pretty good. And I think this defense is going to be pretty good. They return a lot.
Everybody knows what we need to do. Everybody knows what we have to prove. And, you know, we take it personal when, you know, people talk bad about us.
With the guys we have, it could honestly be the best offense in the country. I don't see there's any limit for us.
Happy Football New Year, Monarch Nation. This is David Agudelo, the host of the Monarch Asylum podcast, which you are turning on to listen to right now. Thank you very much for choosing me. This is year two of the Monarch Asylum podcast, your home for all things ODU football. Last year was the first year, and it was pretty successful. Can't thank everyone enough for all the follows on Twitter. That's at ODU Asylum, if you're not following yet, and the Facebook follows. It was a very good year. Kind of something I started on a whim because I wanted to do it and got some nice popularity. So thank you. If you're listening again in season two, thank you very much. If this is your first time listening, thank you very much for tuning it in. My name is David Agudelo, Old Dominion class of 1998, Great Bridge High School class of 1993. So I'm a Virginia boy, now transplanted, living in sunny, beautiful Miami, where I work for a local TV station. But throughout the week, I spend time putting this podcast together because I love ODU football and I've worked in the media long enough. I like doing media stuff. That's kind of what I do. I like interviewing people. I like watching games and kind of breaking it down and trying to figure out my take on things. And that's what this podcast is. You will hear a lot of interviews. I do like to do interviews. And if you hear the normal format, I always give a little sneak peek at the top of the show with some of the sound bites. The voices you did hear was first person is Brian Parsons, producer, reporter for Wavy TV 10 and Fox 43, who has been working with ODU football for 7 years now. We're going to talk about this team, what you can expect to see this year, what you can expect to see on offense, what you can expect on defense. And I think there's going to be some changes on specifically the offensive side of the ball. So we're going to get into some of that. The second voice you heard was Rashad Coward, the defensive tackle, the man in the middle, 6'6" out of Brooklyn, a senior, one of the few seniors on this team. And we have a good talk with him about the potential of this defense, particularly that defensive line, which looks like has a chance to be dominant. The third voice you heard is, of course, Nick Clark, the center of the offensive line. Nick, I had a lot of good questions for Nick because, like I said, I'm very curious about this offense. And Nick gave me some insight into what we can expect from this offense. I don't think it's going to be the traditional five-wide offense ODU fans are accustomed to seeing. I think it's going to be a little more traditional. It's going to be a little more ground and pound. And Nick gives us some really good insight into that. As for this year, there's definitely a lot to talk about. We're going to jump right in, feet first, with Brian Parsons coming up. All right, want to welcome to the podcast the first guest of the new year. He was on the show a couple times last year. That is Brian Parsons from Wavy TV 10, Fox 43. You can follow him on Twitter at bpar71, covering thing all
73.
Things. I'm sorry, say that again? Bpar 73. I'm sorry, I added 2 years to your birthday, I guess, huh?
Don't do that to me. I'm only 43. Don't make me 45 yet.
I apologize. I will never do it again. But Bpar 73, that's on Twitter. All things Hampton Roads sports, but specifically Big Blue football gearing up. Brian, how's it going?
David, it's great. Thanks for having me on. It's great to be on the first episode of the season. The summer is that means the summer is almost officially over come Saturday, right?
No, absolutely. And I consider this new year. People say Happy New Year in January when you kind of get immersed in football. I consider really this first week of football season Happy New Year. So Happy Football New Year.
Well, thank you. It's the same to you. It's been a very long off season. I'm ready to get rolling.
Well, speaking of the music, we know we always have a little bit of a music drop. The song we were just hearing before this interview is Fee by Phish. And Brian told me the next time he was on the podcast, he had to pick his intro song. So, Brian, why'd you pick that song?
Well, first of all, I'm just coming off of a 4-day music festival in Central Virginia where Phish played two nights called the Lock-In Festival, and it was fantastic. the song fee when I was at ODU, and you were there too with me, and I was doing the public address for the baseball, and they let us play our own music doing that. And between innings, I played Fee by Phish. And I immediately saw the baseball coach, I believe it was Pat McMahon at the time, pick up the phone that goes straight to the press box. And I pick up the phone, and he says, hey, turn that, turn that crap off. We'll say crap. And I was like, okay. And he says, put on some Soul Man or something like that, and just hung the phone up. So Pat McMahon was not a fan of Fee or Phish.
So that was the one and only time Phish was probably played at an ODU baseball game.
Phish has been played at the Bud. I can confirm that.
Oh, okay, good. Yes, that's
20 years ago, but it was Phish did play over those speakers at the Bud.
Well, I do remember that time because you know there was a couple. You know, you doing that. I know I did a little. I know Mike Martini, our famous brother back in the day, was notorious for ruffling a couple feathers. So I think that was kind of part of what we did back then.
Yeah, it was fun. That's what it was, man. That's how we got our start. You know, helped us get our start.
No, absolutely. Now look where we're at now. We're breaking down ODU football games all these years later. I remember when we wanted it and we didn't have it, and now we got it, which is, hey, better late than never sometimes, right?
Season 8.
Yeah, it's crazy when you think about it, and it seems like, you know, what it kind of excites me as we get into talking about the 2016 version here of the Monarchs is it seems like every year we can say that this is the best team they've ever had. Like, it seems like there's just that natural progression that they're not really taking a step back. They always seem to be taking, it may not be a big giant step forward, but they're at least always taking a step forward as a program.
Well, for sure. And especially with the FBS recruits getting bigger and stronger and just, you know, more experience every year. This is the first year we're going to say something about, hey, man, you know what? This defense could be pretty good. And I think this defense is going to be pretty good. They return a lot.
No, absolutely. And to me, that's one of that's the biggest theme from last year to this year. I know last year there was I thought it was a bit over anxious to get to the bowl game. Granted, they got within 3 points of it. I thought that was really big picture for what was last year at this point, the fourth youngest team in college football. Fast forward entire year. It was crazy. I mean, fourth youngest team, and people are penciling in 6-7 wins. And I was like, people, slow down. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah, 5-7 and 2 points away from a 6-6 record in bowl eligibility. And that last game against FAU, they were down, I think it was 24-3. And they came back and took a lead, and then they couldn't hold on. I think it was a couple late turnovers in the second half, fourth quarter, actually, which is Bobby Water will tell you that's the worst time to have a turnover, obviously. But it's the D line is going to be really, really, really stout. They're deep, and I mean, O'Shane Zimenez and Bumi Rattini are absolute beasts. Rashad Cowards is a beast. They're going to be loaded up front, and I think the secondary will be pretty improved too with Brandon Addison and Aaron Young coming back after starting all the games last year. So there should be some good experience on the defense. And, you know, we haven't always heard that at Old Dominion. It's always kind of been their weak point.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. And, like, it seems like they have the bodies that are finally growing into it. And that's across the board. But let's talk about the defense a little bit more. These guys, the four main guys, we actually have Rashad Coward on the first episode. You'll hear his interviewed a little bit later. He was kind of breaking down the guys' games for me. And the one thing he kind of impressed upon was how more physical and stronger it seems these guys are. They really took the off-season workout program to heart, I guess, a little more seriously. That was one of Bobby Wilder's recurring themes here in the off-season. Can you see, when you're out there, can you see the physical difference in these guys?
Absolutely, absolutely. Even in media day, you know, interviewing a bunch of the guys and in practice, they're bigger. They're just bigger. And when Marshall first came to SB Ballard Stadium 2 years ago, I mean, they're coming out there and you're just looking at them going, my God, these guys are giants. They're huge.
I was at that game. I don't get to many games, and I was that one. It was like 31-7 at the half or something like that. Yeah, it was men amongst boys.
Doc Holliday called the dogs off. It could have been a lot worse. And I think now you're actually starting to see FBS players, FBS redshirt players that have been able to put on the added muscle and the maturity, the physical maturity, and it's obvious. I mean, Bumi Rattini and O'Shane Zimenez and Rashad Coward are three beasts on that defensive line. I mean, I expect, and I think you're going to get a good pass rush out of those guys, too.
Well, I think that's where it starts and ends on defense. I mean, that is what I'm looking for the most on defense, because nothing helps, you know, a suspect. I wouldn't say, I think the DBs have some good experience, but I still think, I believe in any football, the cornerbacks are still key. I think you need three or four across the board with how many four and five wide sets you see nowadays. But I still think the best way to help that is defense. You know, you get that pressure, you shorten that time, you shorten that window, the quarterback has to throw it, and then you get a tip pass or you get a ball coming out a half second early. You know, that's how you force turnovers with those big boys up front.
And you can't leave out TJ Ricks either. I think he was the leading tackler in the entire league last year. And another guy that could be playing linebacker some this year. And, you know, we on Media Day, we record our segments for the Old Dominion Football Show, the one-minute drill segment. We record 12 of them all on that Media Day. And we're shuttling the guys in and out, and up comes this young man, and I'm looking at him. He looks very familiar, but he looks a lot bigger than what I remember, a lot bigger. And I had to turn his jersey around to make sure I'm talking to the right guy. It was Derek Wilder.
Oh, wow.
Bobby's son, who is in contention to get some playing time at linebacker, and he has put on a lot of muscle. A lot of muscle. So it's just exciting to see these guys grow up and you know, continue to gauntlet through FBS football.
Well, I think what you see with the good programs, too, is they have waves of guys. You know, it's not just about the first team. It's having a decent second team and a third team because, you know, injuries happen. And that's, I think, one of the – so to me, talking about earlier about how young the team was last year, now, by some estimates, they have the 17th most experienced team in all of FBS. They return 17 total starters. We'll get into the offense here in a minute, but as we're continuing defense, 8 guys on defense, including that entire offensive line. Talking to Rashad Coward, he admitted that there were times last year that the young guys, their head was spinning. They didn't know what was going on, especially when the offense hits you. The offense is fast. It's fast. You sit down, and then you're back on the field again because, you know, let's be honest, the offense didn't help them by sustaining drives last year. So there was a bit of a head swivel moment. And I know Bobby's talked a lot about it, but how much do you think just having that experience, you know, that it's not their first time now across the board? They've got – some of them got 10, 12 games under their belt now.
Absolutely. And again, the depth, I think depth is probably the biggest part, you know, with the added scholarships. And, I mean, they're very deep at all of these positions. And, you know, it's kind of funny, in the past couple of years, it would be at the anti-Old Dominion, where it used to be the offense would score so quick that the defense would always be on the field. Well, last year was then when they couldn't really move the chains. They couldn't get off the field. They couldn't move the chains, so therefore it was three and out, and the defense was back on the field again. So, it's again, they've got to find that balance with the offense. The offense is the wild card.
Speaking of it, let's move over to the offensive side of the ball. What intrigues you? What storylines intrigue you the most about the offense this coming year?
Well, we're finally going to be able to see that tight end set that they talked about so much last year before Adam Swan and Melvin Vaughn got injured. So I think that's going to be a big part, you know, a little added blocking, too. And, man, they're deep. They're deep at receiver. They're deep at running back. I think very interesting thing at running back, obviously, Ray Lowry, the baby bull, had a great season, but he was worn down at the end of the year. He was beat up, and the coaches during media day were pretty transparent about that fact that he wasn't Ray Lowry in week 12, the same one that he was in week 1. He was banged up, and they're going to lighten his load a little bit. And, you know, Jeremy Cox came in and played well last year, but the big one is Josh Mariner, who went to Western Branch and is transferring to Old Dominion from the University of Connecticut, and he's been pretty sharp in the fall camp. So They're deep at running back. They're very deep at receiver with Jonathan Duhart and Zach Paschal being the two main guys there. But two big wild cards here. The offensive line is young and inexperienced. And, of course, the quarterback position, David Washington is the starter, but he's already had a little bit of a scare. You know, major reconstructive surgery late last season. Coming back in practice and having to sit out a couple of practices and get an MRI on his knee, sprained his knee, the same knee that he tore 3 ligaments in. So, Shore Bentley and Blake LaRussa have got to be ready to go if Washington goes down at some point. I mean, as Brian Scott, the offensive coordinator, said, it's football. Guys get hurt. We're confident with the next guy up, whether it be Bentley or LaRussa.
You make a lot of good points there. I want to go in on a couple of them a little closer. The first one, foremost for me, is Melvin Vaughn. I've been hearing for a season and a half now on what a beast he is, what a monster he is, how he changes the offense. And I think that's what I'm most intrigued to see. I talked to Nick Clark also. He's the one offensive guest today. You'll hear him later in the podcast. And I had asked to him, I said, I think ODU fans are going to see an offense that they've never seen before. And I think Bobby wanted to break it out last year, and then the tight end, he had none. He had zero, so he couldn't implement it at all. And I think that played into their slow start a little bit last year. But I think you're going to
absolutely.
Yeah, and Brian, I think you're going to see a type of offense. It's going to have a little bit Patriot flavor, where you're going to see the two tight ends, you're going to see a power running formation, they're going to run no huddle, and next thing you know, it's going to be five wide with Melvin Vaughn split wide right with that trip blocking formation with two big tight ends and get Pascal lining up behind him and Swan on the right side. And I think they're going to try and keep their opponents on their toes with that really kind of spread the field, any guy can play anywhere type position. I think it's going to be completely different than what fans are seeing.
I can definitely see that. I think they probably wanted that last year, and they were forced to scrap that plan with the injury. So, Joey Vera, I believe I'm pronouncing his name correct, but Joey Verhaal, who was the quarterback switched to tight end, he showed some promise late last season, and you expect to see him get some playing time too. But they're going to need that extra blocking, even though Washington can get out of the pocket and extend the plays. But, I mean, I don't know if you want him doing that too much, because he has proven that maybe he's fragile. That would be the concern, I think. And especially coming off an injury like he is. Is he 100%? Who knows? Only he knows. And we'll see. But he's got some capable backup quarterbacks for sure, and Shore Bentley and Blake Larusso, which we don't really know much about. But Shore Bentley was also thrust into an interesting situation last year, where David Washington was 3-1 in the games that he played most of the snaps. Shore Bentley also had to start games against Marshall, against Western Kentucky, against Southern Mississippi. We're talking, the cream de la cream of the league.
Yeah.
So Bentley also had to play against NC State, Appalachian State. He really had to face the tougher competition than David Washington did.
With an offense that I don't think fit his skill set, and that's what I wanted to ask you. Everything I'm looking in the offseason, since training camp, all the information I can find is it's David Washington's starter, Washington the starter, Washington the starter, and very, very little mention about Shuler. Now, here's what concerns me. I mean, David's been hurt before. He's already had a slight knee strain in camp. I'm not expecting him to make the whole season. But my question is, does this style of offense that they're going to try and run, a little bit more of a ground and pound, a little more too tight end set, does that benefit Bentley's skill set? Because he's that traditional run the ball, play action, big arm down the field quarterback, which I think is what ODU wants to run.
Absolutely. I think that's what the mindset going in last year was. And Washington was supposed to be a wide receiver last year, and he started the season as a wide receiver. And they wanted that extra blocking for Bentley because he's not as fleet on his feet as Washington is, or as Taylor Heinicke was, or even Thomas DeMarco. Let's go back even further. Thomas DeMarco loved to run the ball. But Bentley is a smart kid. He's a smart quarterback. Maybe he wasn't ready last year. Again, I point out that the teams that he had to play against were the top teams in the league, and we're talking Appalachian State and NC State as well. So, and he did look better at the end of the season, like a lot better.
No, you got to give him credit for that. He improved. I mean, I always say when you see a guy get punched in the face, how does he respond the next week? And he, he wasn't a smooth ride, but I don't think he ever regressed. He always took that step forward.
Right. And he could maybe he'll get you a first down on a third and two, scrambling out of the pocket a little bit. But the thing with David Washington can get you a first down when it's 3rd and 15 by breaking outside and getting you 16 yards. I've seen him do it. So
he's more big play potential from David Washington than Shuler Bentley at this point in their careers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now let's go to the running backs real quick. The couple clips I've seen of Ray Lowry just from last year, he actually looks more in shape. He looks leaner. And just seeing a couple interviews, he almost sounds like a different guy. I almost think like he learned some lessons, and talking to Nick Clark, because they're very good friends. Nick had mentioned how, you know, some of these guys learn they got to take care of their bodies better. They got to, the best way to stay healthy on the field is to start taking care of your body now. And it seems like Ray Lowry may have learned that lesson.
Yeah, I would imagine. And after, especially what he went through last year and, you know, the grind of a 12 game season, by the end, he was almost spent, and not his fault. I mean, he was getting banged around. He was, you know, the main option, obviously. By the way, when we interviewed him, I mentioned that that you tried to adopt the nickname Baby Bull for him, and he likes the name a lot.
No, he said that last year on the podcast, and when I told Nick Clark, Nick kind of chuckled a little bit too. I said, that chuckle means you kind of like it. He goes, nah, it kind of fits. It kind of fits. So I just, until
it,
someone
makes it. We got to make it stick, man.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking I might make a, you know, I might have some family at the game, so I might have them make a sign, you know, Baby Bull, Run Baby Bull, so I don't know. So I haven't decided yet, but, you know, I got to get some advertising for it out there.
But if it's a Baby Bull, does that make him a calf?
Yeah, no, come on. Yeah, I mean, it's a baby bull. I mean, is that what they call bulls, or baby bulls a calf? I don't know. We'll have to look that up. Well, he runs like a baby bull.
The kicking game could be concerned too.
I want to get to that in a quick second, but let's talk about the receivers real quick just to finish up with the offense. You got to love what they see. I see a lot of flexibility in their receivers. You don't see the one guy. I think Zach Pascal, obviously a team captain, you know, the main guy, but I see a bunch of really good twos and threes, but not that one guy who scares you. Because it seems like you looked up and down that list, there's a bunch of guys that have played, a bunch of guys with good sized bodies, a bunch of guys who really, you know, there was always someone stepping up last year. I kind of like that group as a whole more than just individually.
I do signal out, though, Duhart and Pascal. I mean, those are two money players that, you know, just have a knack for the end zone. And Pascal's a strong guy that can just snatch that ball out of the air and hold on to it and take a hit. And there's weapons. For the quarterback, there's going to be weapons. There's weapons in the backfield. There's weapons at tight end. There's weapons at wide receiver. The offensive line could be an issue because they're very young and inexperienced. They're pretty deep, but they're inexperienced. Nick Clark is kind of the captain of the line, the center, and he's going to anchor the line. But I think that is a concern. Bobby may not say it, but I do think that is a concern going into the season.
Oh, no. You know, I've come to realize from covering sports, if coaches don't talk about a specific group, then they're concerned about that specific group. And a lot of stuff I, you know, read and saw in the preseason, very little mention of the offensive line from anyone outside of that camp. Even the questions they asked are very specific and glossed over. So I think he knows there's a depth issue. And I think that's why they want to amp up maybe that tight end and kind of running play. That's something Nick Clark alluded to also, that their new offensive line coach is really kind of a run guy. He wants to run. So, and if you talk to all offensive linemen prefer to run block than pass block because you're the one taking the control to the player. So, you know, question is, with that depth, they got to keep him on the field. You know, they got a redshirt freshman at left tackle. They do have some experience at other places along the line there, but I think it's going to be a whole team offense thing to improve the blocking because they did give up some hits on the quarterbacks last year.
For sure. And I think they do have depth. They just don't have experience. I think that's the problem there. But, hey, man, you know, it's college football. You're a rotating cast of characters every year, so it's and the coach has got to get them ready.
Sometimes week to week, depending on what happens, you know, the rotating characters.
Absolutely.
But special teams, once again, alluding to what I just said a second ago about how not talking about it means it's an issue. Listen, I'm not hearing much about the special teams. I know what's happened with Chris Kirtley. I guess he's got the strained hammy. So they had a former assistant now came on and kicks, or one of the was a, who was it? Not a team assistant, but one of the players.
A student intern.
Student intern. That's the
Joe
term
Philman,
I was looking for.
He was a kicker in Matthews High School. As you know, when you lived here, we kind of covered Matthews, and we'd give their score, but we don't really get up there because it's a little too far from us. But they're in the market, so that's the guy that's kind of doing it right now. They also have Brad Davis from Oscar Smith. He's actually going to be the starting kicker right now on kickoffs at least. But I mean, my God, you've got to have a capable kicker, especially if you look at the way Bobby Wagner's games are, and I guess it's anywhere in college football, but ODU's games, when they win, they're normally very close. I mean,
Oh, no, I looked it up.
USA, All three of their four wins in Conference USA were on field goals at the last play of the game.
Well, that was 2 years ago they won those, right? There was 2 years ago. And then last year,
yes,
they won a game by 4, 14, 3, 5, and 10, and they lost one by 2. So, I mean, that's like 4 points a game, you know, that they're averaging,
yes,
there. And no, and you're right, and you can't, I mean, you got to have a kicker, especially when you, if you're picked to win 6 games, maybe 7, maybe 5, you know that a good chunk of those are going to be close, and every point matters.
And Bobby does have a chip on his shoulder in regards to the media members that cover Conference USA picked Old Dominion to finish 6th out of 7 in the Eastern Division. He doesn't think that was a good selection there. But, you know, hey, my God, Conference USA media, they're all over the country. I mean, how well do all these media members know all these other teams, you know? So, but it's going to be tough. I mean, take a look at the teams ahead of them, Florida Atlantic, and I think Old Dominion is kind of right there with FAU and IU.
I agree.
They're better. I think they're probably better than Charlotte. They're right there with FAU and IU, but they're not better than Marshall. They're not better than Western Kentucky.
Yeah.
Not yet. They're just not. I mean, they haven't gone through that cycle yet.
Maybe they have
players on the team.
Yeah, they're on the right path, but I agree, because when I first, you know, there was a couple. I wanted to touch a little bit on Bobby since you brought it up. It seems to me like he's playing every card he can play, because when I heard, you know, multiple times a disrespect of being picked 6, and then I looked who was picked, I'm like, what did he really expect? Like, that's about where they should be. I mean, all realistic, maybe 5th, but I guess I can understand why he's upset, but I think he's using that more as a motivational tool than anything for his players.
I agree. I do think kids buy into that, but I really believe 4, 5, and 6 in that division are interchangeable, and you could have put anybody in those spots, and it really wouldn't have mattered. I mean, as far as preseason predictions go.
No, I absolutely 100% agree with you on that. And, like, to me, just, yeah, and, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, there, and I think that's, you can say that almost about any league. You just take the ACC, pick the SEC. You take teams that are picked the 5th, 6th, and 7th. They're all like, okay, they're all a play away from finishing 4th. You know, that's kind of how the nature of college football.
All right.
So what are you thinking? What are you thinking this year?
I do think. Who am I picking?
Oh, no, sorry. Go ahead. You do think what?
So in the East, it was Western Kentucky, Marshall, FIU, ODU. I'm leaving out a team in the
Charlotte.
East. We're leaving out.
Charlotte and Southern Miss. No, they're in the West.
Southern Miss.
Is it okay?
So they're in the West. So who are we leaving out here? Marshall, Western Kentucky. Oh, Middle Tennessee. Middle Tennessee is going to be good. Yeah. Well, we've never beaten them in any sports since Old Dominion's moved up to Conference USA. So, but I think Middle Tennessee is going to win the league.
Yeah. Listen, what do you think? Do you think they have ODU at the end of the year? Are they bowling?
I still say 5-7. I think they're a year away.
Yeah, I think they need some. Listen,
but who knows?
No, you're absolutely right. Listen, you get hot, you find some clicking on that offense. The defense plays a little better. I mean, I would have to think you found a way to get to 5 wins with the 4th youngest team in football, and you return basically everybody from that team. Was it 8 starters on defense, 9 on offense? I think you find a way to get 6 wins. I think you do, but it's so interesting. Going back, I just gave you the scores. That's what I find so interesting about last year. I gave you the scores, about 5 points difference in games they won. This is games they lost. This is how much they lost by. They lost by 24, 49, 20, 29, 25, and 25.
Holy cow.
Yes, and they won by 4, 14, 3, 5, 10, and lost by 2. So they were either in it last year or they weren't.
And the 14-point win was against SDS Norfolk State.
Correct. So, you know, take that for, you know, that changes that a little bit, of course. But, you know, I just think if they could stay in some games, which I think two things. I think the experience will help them with that. And I think Bobby Wilder's attention to situational football and practice really helps them for that, because they tend to play well in close games. They just can't let the big boys run away from them.
Well, those close games, that's interesting. I mean, the 2 minutes of offense at the end of a half or end of the game. I mean, they practice that situation all the time. Sometimes they'll just all right, guys, here we go, you know?
Yeah, just out of nowhere.
Ready, line up, we're doing this.
Yeah, he calls it like sudden change. He calls it the sudden change or whatever, and he just like, boom, blows the whistle, does it, you know? And I think that really helps towards it. I think that helps him.
I think it's second nature to them, and they're not even, you know, thinking of the moment. They're just going, all right, what do we do? Where are we supposed to be? You know, those kinds of things. And they're going to have to steal a couple of games. They're going to have to, you know, they should beat Hampton, but you never know. I mean, Connell Maynard was highly successful at Winston-Salem State, and I think he's got Hampton, and he's turning them around. UMass, they should beat UMass. Based on what happened last year against Appalachian State at home, that doesn't look like a win. NC State doesn't look like a win.
Especially because that's a home opener. That's a home opener for App State, too. So, yeah, you would figure you got to get to 2-2, you know?
I don't have the schedule in front of me. So who do we have after that? You've got to beat Charlotte. You've got to beat UTSA for sure. You probably got to beat UTEP. Western Kentucky is going to be tough. Southern Miss is going to be tough. Marshall is going to be tough. Those are three games where, you know, if Old Dominion were to win one of those three games, it would be huge, huge upset. Huge, huge upset.
Yeah, well, you know, but that's kind of how it works, you know? I mean, like you said, it seems like half those games on their schedule are really pick-ems. You're right, because then after Hampton, Appalachian State, North Carolina State, and the next game is Texas San Antonio, Charlotte, Massachusetts. So listen, they need to, and then they finish with Western Kentucky, UTEP, Marshall, Southern Miss, Florida Atlantic, FIU. They need to find a way to get that first. They've got to beat Hampton. They got to beat App State. They got to beat Texas San Antonio. I think you got to start 4-1 just to cover yourself, because then you get go through Massachusetts. All right, so go through 1, 2, 3. That's 6 games. You got to find a way to go 4-2 in those first 6 games, and then you got to find 2 wins against Western Kentucky, UTEP, Marshall, Southern Miss, Florida Atlantic, FIU. That's no easy schedule.
I think they've got to sweep the Florida schools to go bowling.
You think they're going to need 2 wins going into that last one?
Yeah, I really do.
I think they're going to go like last year. Going to go into those last 2 games needing a 1 win, and hopefully history does not repeat itself.
Hey, you're down there. How's FAU and FIU looking?
To be honest, I haven't got a chance to get a good look at them. I know there's a little bit of buzz about FAU because of their coach and the way they finished strong last year, and they're kind of in the same boat as ODU with a lot of young guys coming back with a year on the program, some bodies that are getting some pro looks, a defensive end whose name escapes me right now. And FIU is another year under Ron Turner, so they're just kind of really pushing along. I've really been in Dolphin mode and a little bit of Hurricane mode. We have the new stadium with the Miami Dolphins, so it's been all things Dolphins down here for the last month or so.
We're
getting ready for that one. So that's about it for this. Got you right now. I think I'm excited about the season, man. I think there's a lot of potential there. I think it's going to be another growing season, but I think I think last year we saw some baby steps. I think you're going to see some bigger steps this year for some of these guys.
For sure, and I think the fans need to temper their expectations a little bit based on the fact that, remember, there's still 6 FCS players on the team. Keep in mind, David Washington was an FCS recruit.
Yeah.
You know, at quarterback, he was not an FBS recruit. I mean, when he came to Old Dominion, they hadn't announced they were going to Conference USA yet. So, it's a long process. They're still a year away. To me, it almost feels like it should be more than 8 seasons in. It just feels like with so many changes, the FCS independent, CAA.
There's a storyline every year. It's a storyline every year.
Every year, dude. Different level, different this, different that, and it's going to be great to stop, looking ahead and actually talk about the actual product on the field after we've seen something. So I cannot wait for that.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Because I tell you, that's one thing. As we're wrapping up here with Brian Parsons, that's one thing that I've kind of learned, like, we still don't know anything from camp, because you get a lot of word from the coaches. You get, you know, you can go to practice, you know, for so much. But I still think that a lot of these teams now, yeah, they go full tilt in practice, but it's just not the same as game day. So I still believe across the board in football, with these changing in the practices of the rules and how often you can practice, you don't really know what you got until you hit game day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we are almost there.
Yes, we are at the end of the week. And I'll be there for that. I'm excited. I'll be home for the opener. Just seemed to work out. I got a little lucky this year, so I will be there. I will see you.
Oh, you're going to the game.
I will be there, yeah. I fly back. The Dolphins play on Thursday night, flying back Friday morning, doing a little mom and family time, and then I will be there Sunday. So, Saturday. I will be there Saturday, and looking forward to it. It absolutely should be a good time.
Excellent. Are you going to buy a ticket, or are you going to use your media clout and get a credential?
Well, as the most senior Old Dominion football podcast out there, I flexed the muscles.
True.
I flexed what little muscle I had. And yes, I will have a credential. So I can't say that because, you know, now the Virginia Pilot has started their own podcast, which I listen to, which is very nice. But it was the funniest.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Barry Mennie and Tom White did a great job on that.
No, he's great. And Harry was a great friend of the program, and it was last year because he didn't return my couple emails when I was trying to get him on the show for this year. And then I stumbled on their podcast. So I'm like, well, I guess that cancels him out as a guest for the year. I hope not, but I'll have to see Harry this week.
Podcast.
That's good, though. I'll take that. Yeah, nothing like a little competition, right? Bobby Wilder says competition makes you better.
Hey, what does that say about Old Dominion's football program? They have two podcasts, man. That's pretty good.
Nice. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I agree.
I bet you Charlotte doesn't have two podcasts. They probably don't have. They probably don't even have one.
Yeah, I don't even think the Charlotte Bobcats have two podcasts. So yeah, we're one up on them.
That's right. Look at that.
All right, Mr. Parsons. Well, thank you for your time. We will see you this weekend, and go Big Blue. And we'll talk to you again in the future.
All right, David. Hey, coming up after the Hampton game every Friday night at 10:45 on Fox 43, the Old Dominion Football Show with Bruce Rader and Coach Bobby Wilder on our brand new fancy set. And if you miss it, then if you DVR it, and if you don't, it'll always be on Wavy.com.
Nice, excellent. Thank you very much. And you can get those once again. BPAR73. You can get those. He'll put out the tweets, and you can follow him and all those things related on their website. And Brian Parsons, thanks again. Hey, guys, don't go anywhere. Coming up after the break, we're going to start talking football with some of the players. The first guest of the year and the first repeat guest, player that is, Rashad Coward joins the program. That's coming up after the break. Welcome back to the podcast, our first double guest, I guess, if I go back to last year, Rashad Coward, the big D tackle. Rashad, you are officially the first player to be on the podcast twice. I don't know if that's a big deal back in Norfolk, but I consider it a big deal. You know, talking to you last year, I want to talk to you a little bit about you real quick personally, how you have developed. Talking to you last year, you talked about how you changed your eating habits. You learned how you were a knucklehead in the past. Now you had to mature a little bit more. Now going into your senior season, what do you think you learned last year, adding to those lessons that you learned the years before?
Well, you know, I learned last year, like, you know, nothing's handed to you. I know we had success in the past, but it's kind of, you got to really work hard and be determined and confident in what you're doing and believe in your coaches.
That was one of the themes I heard Bobby Wilder repeat over and over again here in the offseason, that he saw the guys come in hungrier. He saw the guys come in more prepared. What is your opinion on that? What did you see from your teammates?
The guys were focused. No, they were joking around, of course, but when it's time to work and, you know, set the tone and play hard and work hard, coaches had no question that we were working hard. It was running hard, guys competing. You know, to be the ones, the starters of every team, and just getting the team better, everybody playing physical and just aggressive.
Tell me a little bit about your unit. Everything I'm hearing and everything I'm noticing is your defensive line is just going to really be the strength of this defense and of this team. Coach Wilder says you can go 12 deep at some times and just really rotate guys in and out. What have you seen from that group as a whole?
We're out here working hard, you know. Believe in our coach Commissioner Young. He's been playing a lot of guys in the NFL, so we know we trust him. And then he's just like, he gets on us when we know we're better than that. And we're older now. Like, me and a couple other guys. So we're the leaders of the group. So if it's not good enough, we're gonna like say it before he has to say anything or step in. So we pretty much control that group and control what we do. And in practice, we gotta make sure we set the tone. So I know if we don't play practice hard, everybody else is gonna watch. Like, okay, they're not practicing hard, so why should we go hard? The more we go hard, it brings energy. Everybody comes together, and this one of us like hit people on the defense, more to say.
At this point last year, we were talking about the Monarchs being the fourth youngest team in the FBS, and now by some people's estimates, they're the 17th most veteran team. Is that something you've noticed in practice? Can you just see it's a more mature team?
Yeah, you know, we understand situations when we're putting in practice, like fourth and long, third and short, you know, goal line situations. You know, coach put us in the bind. We know not to you know, get, you know, rattled and just, like, be calm and do your job and play as hard as you can.
Do you think there were at times last year in some of those games when, as coach like to put it, those what sudden change moments happened? Do you think sometimes there was a little bit of that head spinning and what's going on and we need to pull together? Do you think that happened a couple times last year?
It did. It happened a couple times last year. But, you know, we learned from our mistakes and we got better during the year. I said we were 5-1 in our close games. So, you know, we've been there before and we practiced it so much, situational football. So it's really helping us, like, get the hang of it better.
I'm going to do some name recognition. I'm going to give you a couple names here. Just give me a sentence of what you think of as a player when I say this person's name. First one, let's start with Miles Fox.
Animal.
Just a monster. He's just, how so? How's he an animal?
He's an animal. He's like, you know, a young guy that he wants to learn. And he watches us, like, you know, physical with guys, throw guys around. He just wants us to, you know, he just wants to, like, step up with us and play hard, and he's earned the one spot to do so because he fought for that spot during the spring, and he's just, you know, when he gets going and gets the hang of things, he's full speed, get off his pads, hit guys in the mouth, you know, just love to see that.
Bumi Rotimi, my vote for best team name, by the way, but Bumi Rotimi.
He's our best defensive lineman, hands down, best defensive lineman.
Throwing yourself in that mix too, he's a little better than you.
Of course. He's always been better than me.
O'Shane Zimenez.
He's a great player. He's young. He's going to be a great player when he gets in that leadership role and understands the game more. He's going to be an animal also, just like Miles.
Talk about it a little bit more. You mentioned it, the situational football. I've been covering NFL and college football down here for 12 years, and I'm a big fan of that, of coaching putting their players in situations they're going to see in the game. That seems to be a real staple of a Bobby Wilder practice. He really likes putting you guys in those situations.
Yeah, see, you know, we do that so, you know, when game time comes, we don't crack under pressure and we don't panic. We don't try to do too much where it put us out of position. We're going to keep working hard at it, like fourth and long, a two-minute drill. Offense needs to score a field goal, a touchdown. So defense, no, they can't get a first down at all. Or vice versa, offense got to make sure, you know, keep the pace up, keep it going. And we just got to pretty much contain them. So situational football, like when game time comes, we're not panicking. Okay, we got to get a stop to win the game. We're not going to panic. We're just going to make the plays where we need to, and know where we need to be at and just let it happen.
Rashad, last couple questions for you. Rashad Coward here is with us. What are your expectations for this year going into start? Like I said, a much more veteran team. It seems like you guys have a lot more confidence, and not just the confidence, but physically you guys seem to have the strength and the quickness that you didn't have last year. So what's your expectations for going into this season?
You know, we're trying to compete for a conference championship, win the East, and hopefully get to a bowl game. So you win the East, you're automatically in the bowl game. So that's our goal, win the East, win the conference, win a bowl game.
And what's the high end, what's the potential of this defense? Because I look across it and, you know, maybe at cornerback there might be a ton of depth, but every other position, you've got guys with experience who've come back and have seen it done. What do you think the high end for this defense?
The high end, you know, everybody knows what they need to do. Everybody knows what we have to prove. And, you know, we take it personal when, you know, people talk bad about us. So, you know, we come in here, you know, stay focused and work hard and get the job done. We're trying to, like, during practice, we're trying to give up 2 touchdowns, you know, the most 2 touchdowns. So 14 points of practice. So we just, you know, try to keep focused on that and not give up so many points anymore.
Well, Rashad, thank you for your time very much. I know it's your senior season. Hopefully we can talk to you again down the road. I wish you good luck in Hampton and down the road. And, hey, go out and get those 6 wins, maybe more, and make some history.
Thank you.
Continuing on the player interviews right now, let's bring on Nick Clark. He is a redshirt sophomore. He is the center of the offensive line. Nick, thanks for coming on the Monarch Asylum podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I just got a couple questions. Listen, I got a lot of questions about this offense. I'm a big believer that I don't think I know what ODU fans are used to seeing, but I think this offense is going to look different than they're used to seeing. And I think Bobby Wilder wanted it to look different last year, but the injury at tight end really threw a wrench into everything. But I think it's going to look a little different this year with the tight ends being infused. What have you seen from this offense so far? Am I right, or am I a little off base?
You're definitely right there. We last year losing Mel and Adam Swan really hurt what we're planning on doing running wise. And with the running backs we have, I mean, we're 5-6 deep at running back that could start anywhere, you know, for the most part in the country. So I think you're definitely going to see a lot more power running game. With Coach Malone coming in, you know, he's really big on, you know, just running the ball. He doesn't want to pass. He said, you know, he hates passing. When he played at Virginia Tech, that's all he just doesn't like pass blocking. And run blocking is a lot more fun. So, you know, that's our plan. We hope that it can be effective enough so we don't have to pass the ball at all. So, I mean, that's part of the pride of being an offensive lineman, just moving people out of your way and making holes for our running backs. You can find a hole anywhere.
Yeah, kind of plowing the road mentality. And I think that's when you guys – I think the offense really started working last year when you guys had that kind of plow the road mentality and where you could set up a little play action. You know, talking about this team this year – and I'm glad you're on the show because I wanted to get your insight on this. Last year at this time, ODU was the 4th youngest team in FBS, and now by some people's estimates, it's the 17th most experienced. What a difference a year makes. Can you see that difference from a year ago?
You definitely can. Even in, you know, guys like myself who've only played 1 year, it's you know, you just have a feel for the game. You're not going into this year unsure about what's going to happen, not knowing like will I be able to play against other guys. It's college football. I mean, I've only played against high school guys my whole life. So knowing that, you know, you can do it and you already know what to expect has put a lot more confidence in guys on our team. So we're coming in this year with more confidence as a whole group, and you can definitely see that on both sides of football.
Bobby, Coach Wilder said several times during camp and in the spring that he just saw kind of a better attitude and maybe like more dedication. Is that something that you could see and maybe put your finger on also?
Yeah, in spring we had that rule where if you didn't make your workouts during winter workouts, you would sit out for practices during spring ball. So we had a lot of guys miss, and, you know, nobody wanted to be that guy that missed out on a practice because you were out of shape. So in summer, we really had, you know, full participation. Everybody was working hard. Everybody was in shape. And it shows now because nobody missed the practice and everybody's here in better shape, working harder than before. And, you know, it just shows on the field.
Were you one of those guys? Did you make your workout goals?
Yeah, I made sure I made all my workouts.
What was it like with the guys who didn't? Was there, I mean, obviously you want to help those guys, but was there any good-natured ribbing, or was it, you know, just kind of like a team, you know, just what was that moment like when you got guys who want to practice, but coach is like, no, you can't walk on the field. You didn't make your goal.
It's definitely tough because not only does it hurt those guys for not being able to practice, it also hurts the rest of the team because, you know, you're less guys, so people are taking more reps, and it just wears down their bodies more. But, you know, it was understanding that you know, they're still working hard to get back on the field, and they're not just, it wasn't just sitting out of track and watching us. They're over there doing conditioning, working out themselves. So we knew that, you know, they're still working hard trying to help the team out by getting themselves back in shape. So, I mean, it was an understanding throughout the whole team.
I want to ask you about a couple of guys on the offense. First one, the guy I was intrigued, I already alluded to him a minute ago, but Melvin Vaughn, I just see him really being an offense changer with his flexibility and what you can do. What do you see from him now that he's back healthy? You know, what does he bring to this offense?
He brings a lot more plays that we can run. Melvin's a big dude, so he's great. He's a blocker, so it adds a lot more power running games to our playbook that we couldn't run last year because we couldn't have that extra blocker. So not only that, he is obviously a great tight end. I think he came here as a wide receiver, but he's so big that we moved him to a tight end when we started implementing it. And no, he's a physical guy that once he has the ball, nobody wants to tackle. But he's also a great teammate, so he's willing to do whatever. He's willing to stick his head in there if he's been called on to block. So he's going to be a big part of this year.
Yeah, I'd imagine he'd have to be pretty hungry. Let me go to the guys toting the rock in the backfield. Listen, a lot of depth there. You mentioned it earlier, but I keep looking at the headliner of that group, and you got to help me. I'm talking Ray Lowry, of course. You got to help me out because I got a nickname I'm trying to get stick for Ray Lowry, and it's Baby Bull. So Ray Baby Bull Lowry. Because I like it. Because, listen, I think it works because he's little small. You don't think much. But, man, those legs keep moving. He don't stop. He is a baby bull. But what have you seen from him? Looking at some of the off-season stuff, to me, he looks like he's in better shape, which I didn't know was possible. And he just kind of has a different attitude about him, it seems like, from what I've seen.
Yes, sir. I was on my official with Ray. Ray's one of my closest friends here. I've been here with him from the start, and you know, I've definitely seen that progression with him where he's just a different person. I mean, he's always been good. He just has that natural instinct that you look for in running backs. So he finds every tiny little hole possible, and you just can't teach that. And he's definitely working harder this year. I know he had some injury problems last year, so he tried to get his body right, so that didn't happen again this year. And you can tell it just means a lot to him. And, you know, he wants to do well for his team and, you know, all his teammates.
Did I hear a little chuckle there? You like that nickname? You like the Baby Bull nickname?
Yeah, I like that. I think that could work.
Yeah, I've got to work on that. I'll be at the game next week, so I might have to try and make a couple signs to get people to hold them up. I got to make that stick.
There you go. Make some signs.
You had mentioned about that, about taking care of your body more. And it seems to me that's a reoccurring theme for a lot of college players. They come in, they think that, hey, I was good in high school. You know, I can just work a little harder and be here. And then they learn that lesson that they got to take that extra step with eating right. I talked to Rashad Coward about that and being more dedicated. Is that a lesson? How long do you think that's a lesson that some college players need to learn?
It's something that needs to be taught right away. I mean, you need to pick up on that, even if you're redshirting. I know, you know, redshirt seasons are not easy by any means with how much you're doing, how much you're working out. But, you know, you're not playing in games, so you're not having to perform for the team, for the actual school. So I don't think people realize it until they get into the actual season. So for me last year, I started feeling my legs wearing down on me quick, and something I haven't been used to, because in high school I would be able to be fine. We didn't have all these ice baths and stuff, so I was okay. But now, as the season went on, I had to be in the training room every day getting stretched, rolled out. I was in the ice tubs once or twice a day, just trying to squeeze out every little minute possible just to make sure my body felt right. And I think a lot of the guys haven't realized that yet who are new, but all the older guys have. So we're trying to pass that down to them to make sure their bodies are feeling right and trying to prevent more injuries.
How about, let me follow that up with, too, the studying film. I know I've interviewed Taylor Heinicke before, and it sounds like you're a little bit of the same where you like studying the film and you enjoy kind of hitting the playbook. Am I a little wrong there? And do you think, is that something a player can learn, or is that kind of just part of what he has?
It's a little bit of both. A lot of watching film is, you know, just forcing yourself to do it because by no means is it any fun. You're sitting in there, it's long hours where, you know, it's extra too. You're not just in the film room at the facility.
you're back at home when you could be playing video games or hanging out with guys who are in there watching film. So in the end, it's a little bit of, you know, dedication to watching film, but you also got to know what you're looking for. So this year, you know, I'm real excited to find out how Coach Malone studies film and what he looks for and how he diagnoses a defense, because, you know, he's a new coach and I haven't been able to do that yet with him. So we'll start on that probably at the end of this weekend and just see what he looks for. And, you know, that's my goal for this year, is to be more in tune with what the defense is doing, so that way I can know what's happening before the play even starts.
The last couple of questions. Nick, what do you think's the potential for this offense? What can it do this year?
With the guys we have, it could honestly be the best offense in the country. And with the depth we have at wide receiver, the depth we have at running back, the quarterbacks, our tight ends, and even, you know, once we get the offensive line all gelled together, which it's coming along real well, I don't see there's any limit for us. Just like I said to all the other offensive linemen, we don't have to do much. The guys we have at skill positions is unreal. So we're real excited to be blocking for those guys and hopefully be putting up a lot of points this year.
I would like to bring you on later in the year to talk a little bit about more the offensive line when we see it gel. But I think, like you said, it's still a little early. I know you got the five starters, but we got to kind of see how it comes together.
Yes, sir.
Last question for you. Are you still a big Shaquille O'Neal fan? Is that what I saw?
Yeah, I wasn't a big book guy back in high school, middle school, and, you know, when you always had summer reading and whatnot. So my mom would always have to force me to read books. And then one day I was walking through a library for a class in high school, and I saw Shaquille O'Neal's autobiography. So for whatever reason, I picked that book up, and that's probably the only book I've read on my own with myself reading it for pleasure. And, you know, I loved it. I like what he stands for. I like how he has fun with the stuff he does. And, you know, he's probably one of my favorite athletes of all time. So, yeah, I just like how he lives his life.
Yeah, I was very fortunate when he got traded to the Heat, back in 2005, I had a chance to cover him for, you know, the 3 or 4 years he was with the Heat. And it was always an adventure. Right. So I'll have to share some of those stories with you next time, because the guy is, they've had that was it, the segment on TV, Shaqt and a Fool? The guy really does live life way.
Sure.
That is how he lives. He would pick on us all the time, and he was an interesting guy. So I'll have to share some of those stories with you next time. But Nick Clark, hey, thanks again for coming on this first episode of the Monarch Asylum podcast. Good luck this season. Get those 6 wins, maybe more. Get that bowl game, and, you know, have a great season.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me on.
All right, no problem, man. Take care.
Have a great day. What's up, Doc? Can we rock? What's up, Doc? I'm the hooper, hyper, protected by Viper. When I'm out the hooping, yo, you better decipher. In other words, you better make a funky decision, because I'm going to be a Shaq knife and cut you with precision. Forget Tony Danza, I'm the boss.
We are in the home stretch of the Monarch Asylum podcast, episode 1 of season 2. Let's recap the music you heard on the show. The first song you heard was Fish singing Fee by request of Brian Parsons, our first guest. The next song was the Monophonics with Bang Bang. We heard just before the Nick Clark interview, Stuck in the Middle with You by Steeler's Wheel. Hey, you got to play a song about, you know, stuck in the middle for the center. Yeah, you got to get a little cliche sometimes. Hopefully he's there all season long keeping that line together. And the last song you heard was Shaquille O'Neal and Fushnikins. Yes, Shaquille O'Neal had a rap album. I pretty much played the highlight of it, so I don't think you really need to search for it if you want it, but that was Shaquille O'Neal and Fushnikins. I just like saying Fushnikins at this point. With What's Up, Doc? Well, what's up for the Monarchs? Well, this year, I think they can get to 6 wins. I know that's going to be the number one priority until they get that first bowl game, and I think they have the ability to get it. As I said earlier, when you had the 4th youngest team and you got 5 wins, and now you've got the 17th most veteran team in the league, that should be good for one more win. That experience should get the Monarchs 1 to 2 more wins. And so the only questions I have left are, what is this offense is going to look like? And this is what we need to keep an eye out. This is what you got to keep an eye out for watching this first game against Hampton. What's that offense going to look like? Is it going to be run the ball, set up the play action? are you going to have games, more lower scoring games than we're used to having? And I think the answer is yes. Expect a lot of Ray Lowry. Expect a lot of Jeremy Cox. Expect some Mariner. Expect a lot of running to set up that play action. Also look for some exotic formations. I can see some double tight end sets where you have a specific unit on the field where you think you're going to have two tight ends, going to be traditional run the ball. Yes, they might do that, but the very next play, they might go no huddle and spread those guys five wide. That's always a possibility. I think they like the flexibility their tight ends bring to the lineup, so I'm expecting a completely different offense. Defensively, it starts up front with the big boys. That's why I wanted Rashad Coward on today to talk to him a little bit. Those guys need to bring the pressure. It's a deep unit. It's got a lot of athletes on it, guys in the best shape of their life, and if they don't bring the pressure, well, they're gonna give up some points because that's the state of college football right now. If you can't pressure the quarterback and rush those throws or maybe get a tip on them, most quarterbacks are gonna pick you apart. It's nice to hear that ODU's strength this year is defense. Now let's just hope they can back it up because they've got the pieces. Granted, some of them are, like Brian Parsons said, you got some FCS recruits in there, but these are guys who showed that they belonged last year and now being in bigger and better shape, as I've heard from all the reports, they should still be long this year. Anyways, that's going to do episode one of the Monarch Asylum podcast. Once again, follow us on Twitter at ODU Asylum. Tell your friends, tell your family, anyone who's an ODU fan, please let them know about this. I think it's a good way to start off going to a game day, learning some information about the team and preparing you for each week. We will see you next week, hopefully when we're talking about the ODU Monarchs jumping out to a 1-0 lead. I will be at the game. If you see me walking around, I'm going to be trying to do some advertising, walk around, get the little politician in me out, shake some hands, kiss some babies. If you see me rocking around, please come up and say hello. And hopefully you like the podcast this year. If you have any questions, hit me up on Facebook, Monarch Asylum, or hit me on Twitter, at ODU Asylum. All right. Go Big Blue. Let's get to 1-0, and we'll see you next week.